from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, we're right on the line right now, and I think the guys realize that. Like, hey, you know, let's take care of one another. We definitely don't want people fighting out here and stuff, and especially against our own teammates. But and then DK gave a great message at the end of the practice, just kind of putting us everything in perspective. The guys finished it out the right way, so proud of our guys.
That's new head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, Mike McDonald, former defensive coordinator for the Ravens. They're talking about his team's intense practices out in Seattle. I find it funny that DK Metcalf is giving the inspirational message at the end of practice yesterday, considering he's the guy that's out there tossing his helmet at people's heads. I mean, God, I guess. But yeah, Mike McDonald getting his first taste of head coaching in Seattle, and he was, and of course, this is NFL Lunch on Vinny and Haney. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. And the Seattle Seahawks, I don't really know how I feel about them right now. I don't think that they're that good of a team. Right now, as I sit here today, I don't view them as a playoff team. But we'll see. Crazy things happen all the time. But will Mike McDonald, in your opinion, Vinny, be as good of a head coach as he was a defensive coordinator?
I watched him on, NFL Network yesterday or last night and stuff. He seems pretty comfortable in it. He seems pretty calm, cool. In his personality, he's much more talkative, and he's got to be. I think he'll do a pretty good job. I think he's a really smart guy. All those people, they're predicting that they're in the playoffs. Most of those people, they got them winning like 10 games, splitting with San Fran, being fighting for that division out there in the West.
Yeah, I guess I don't necessarily see. I mean, it starts at the quarterback position in the NFL, and I'm not buying into Geno Smith. I also am not buying into my guy that was in Washington last year, Sam Howell. I look at their quarterback room and I'm just not impressed right now. I like Kenneth Walker in the backfield. I like DK Metcalf, and their defense is still a work in progress. Their secondary has been built up. But everything else, it's kind of like wait and see. And I feel like every year with Seattle, they're dealing with some sort of injuries that ends up impacting their season in some sort of way. So we'll see. But I just don't see it right now with the Seahawks. Nick Foles, remember Nick Foles?
He
won the Super Bowl with the Eagles that year. It was kind of the start to the decline of the career for Carson Wentz, because he was having an MVP-esque season. Eagles looked like the best team in football that year, and Carson Wentz gets hurt on the back end of the season, and Nick Foles takes over and ends up leading the team to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl against Tom Brady and those guys, and he retires from football today.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, Cordell, he's made a lot of money for being that backup and stuff. You know, I'll bet you in his bank account, he's probably got over 30 mil.
Yeah, and apparently he'll officially retire on the Eagles' home opener September 16th against the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, so he's always going to be loved right there. Oh, no
doubt.
Super Bowl.
No doubt. The only Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles. Go out to New Orleans. Looks like they're tossing around some money a little bit. Pete Werner, a 3-year, $25 million extension for their linebacker out there. And that's kind of their calling card right now in New Orleans. Offense is still kind of a big question mark. But defensively, they've been able to hang their hat on that side of the ball for the last few years now. So they're paying one of their own right now. That's always good to see. We know
their biggest problem is they're inconsistent at quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carr, you know, I mean, everybody likes Carr, but he's inconsistent.
Let's go out to let's just look at the league as a whole right now. Preseason football obviously is upon us. It looks like Josh Allen's going to start the game Saturday against the Bears. I saw that Andy Reid is planning to play Patrick Mahomes and his starters for at least a quarter. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about these guys, especially when we're talking about elite quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes playing in the preseason, playing substantially?
I mean, in the past, Cordell, everybody's always played.
Mm-hmm.
And what have we said, you know, most recently about the play early in the year? It's been bad because nobody plays any preseason game. And that's what Patrick Mahomes said. That's why he wants to play. He said, because a couple years back, they didn't play in any preseason games, and the team started out really slow. And I guess last year, they played in the preseason, and the team started out quicker. You know, I mean, there's two games tonight. Carolina's not playing their quarterback, Bryce Young. And New England, I think they're playing everybody because they need to get a look at everybody. Detroit's not playing anybody, and at the Giants, their quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, is not playing.
And I just see that the head coach for the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus, says that Caleb Williams will start tomorrow against the Bills. He says we want to see a good flow and rhythm to it, but he didn't go into a general into detail about the snap count and how much he's expecting them to play, but does look like we'll get both starting quarterbacks in that Bills-Bears game tomorrow.
Yeah, well, watching Hard Knocks, Eberflus was kind of saying that he likes his player because they've already played in one game. Mm-hmm. So this is game two for them.
Right.
He wants Caleb Williams, you know, to go through that warm-up process and go through game-like situations. So, yeah, I think and Adunzie will play. I don't think C.J. Moore probably plays. But they'll have – I would imagine when Caleb's in there, they'll have their starting O-line
in there. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so but that'll be fun to watch. I mean, watching all these young quarterbacks makes watching preseason games fun. I mean, last Thursday night's game sucked.
Yeah,
because nobody was playing.
I don't think I paid attention to it at all.
Me either. I think I was watching the O's or mm-hmm. Olympics or something.
Anything but, other than that.
Yeah, and like tonight, I want to watch young quarterback from. I want to watch Drake May.
Mm-hmm. Out in Tennessee, looks like their DB, Caleb Farley, is out for a few weeks dealing with a hamstring issue. So you get a lot of soft tissue injuries this time of year, and teams are obviously going to use the time afforded to them to be cautious with these guys. So it looks like Farley will be out for a little bit. It looks like we have a joint practice going on out in New York. The Commanders are out in New York. They'll take on the Jets in the first preseason game on Saturday. They're having a joint practice today. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, of course, the second overall pick for the Commanders. Looks like, shocker here, the Commanders are struggling against the Jets.
Jets got a hell of a defense.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And there's video out there of Wilson terrorizing Emmanuel Forbes, the second year cornerback for the Commanders.
That shocks the hell out of me because I liked him. Mississippi State, wasn't it, Cordell?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, he led the country in interceptions. Like, he had 14 interceptions. You know, he was – the only thing was is he's a stick. And the only things that, you know, on film, he looks great. But you don't know – here, like, just watching film and stuff, what we don't know is – we don't know work ethic. Does he love the game? Is he passionate about it? Compete level, all those things. Mm-hmm. We don't know those things. And they should have. If they're drafting them that high, you better know.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like with Wiggins, Wiggins is kind of a stick too.
Yeah. But he seems to have more aggression in his game than Emmanuel Forbes has shown to this point. I watched the video of Garrett Wilson running right by him. I mean, he doesn't lay a finger on him. Free release. He, and as fast as he is, he's trailing him the whole time. He just looks like a player that has no confidence right now going into a second year, which isn't great.
Which
to
is
see.
A killer.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's a high draft pick that you got, and he can't play. You know, I mean, that's a huge, huge setback.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, Mike Elias, GM of the Orioles. He was on with Inside Access yesterday. We'll hear a little bit what he had to say about some of the young pups on the team, Grayson Rodriguez, and a lot more next year on the
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Man, you just heard from Orioles GM Mike Elias there. He was on with Inside Access yesterday afternoon, and there he was talking about Grayson Rodriguez, who was placed on the IL yesterday, the 15-day IL retroactive to August 4th with the right lat tears discomfort. So as Mike said, you know, him going on IL on the 15-day lets you know that he's at least going to miss a couple of starts. They'll reevaluate him in a couple of weeks. But I think everybody, especially the people over there at the warehouse, are holding their breath right now.
Well, we don't know what degree that it is. And what was his last one? A third?
It was a second degree.
Second degree. Yeah, so I guess, like Elias said, we got to wait and see what the results are and then how he feels, too. You know, how Grayson feels.
Let's hear more from GM Mike Elias, who was on with Inside Access yesterday. Albert Suarez, he got the start, the spot start when Grayson couldn't go, had a pretty good outing, which prompted the question, could Albert Suarez be the guy to replace Grayson in the rotation?
You know, we haven't made a final decision on that, but, you know, you saw what he did last night. You saw what he's done throughout the season. And, you know, we've jerked this guy around a little bit too, so to speak, between the rotation, and he started off in AAA, and then he goes right to the bullpen, doing really good things for us. With all the injuries that we've had, it's hard to picture ourselves a half game out of first without Albert. So he's right at the top of the list. But that said, we're still kind of sitting down as a staff and working through all this. We've had other transactions today, and
yeah, I mean, I said it yesterday. He's you talk about most valuable Oriole. He's probably not going to win it, but it's hard to envision this team being able to stabilize itself the way that it has this year in the pitching front.
Right.
Without Albert Suarez being able to play a variety of roles for them this season.
Yeah, Suarez has done it all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, He's like the clock that just keeps on ticking. You know, whatever you ask him to do, okay, no problem. You want me to come in after 4 days? I'll give you five. So, yeah, he's been a very consistent performer for them.
Yeah, I mean, and look, it was a guy that really you had no expectations for coming out of spring training. And he was one of the good stories of spring training, but you still didn't, at least I didn't. I didn't think it would really come it would form into anything as the season went on, but injuries happen, and the Orioles have been hit with injuries to their pitching staff pretty much right away this season, and it's caused Albert to be used in a variety of ways, and he's been a great sport about it, and it's not like they're just throwing him out there and he's stinking it up. He's been more than serviceable no matter what role they put him in, so for sure, I think Albert Suarez deserves his flowers. Let's hear more from Mike Elias as he talks about Coby Mayo still adjusting to the majors.
Well, he hasn't gotten too much action so far in the majors, but all we're really asking him to do right now is to make the routine play, not 100% of the time, but, you know, just make the routine play and give good at-bats. And he's doing that. He's a really big guy. It's hard to play the infield when you're as tall as he is, but he's so athletic that he's been able to do it at a high level, and I think he can do it at the major league level at third base and stay at the position. But it doesn't mean he's a finished product. It doesn't mean he's going to play it as well as we've seen Urias and Westberg do it in years past, but we haven't asked him to do that. And he does have a really strong arm, so it enables him to make some tough plays. And for a big guy, he's really good at the body control play too. So I think we're going to see some really good flashes from him there, but he is coming up and helping us at third base at a time when he's badly needed. And I hope, just like Jackson did, he's soaking everything in and learning from this experience. And I do think his at-bats have looked good, even though the numbers aren't there. So we'll see what he does here the next few days. But I think it'll be nice for him if he can get a ball to fall on the grass.
How tall is he, Cordell?
Says here he's 6'5", 230. He's pretty tall.
For a third baseman?
And you saw it yesterday on that ball that kind of one-hopped on him. I mean, he's trying to get down there to get it, but it's a long way down because he's so tall. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a struggle for him, obviously, to this point. And we've seen this movie before with a lot of these young guys that get called up. They always say the biggest jump in terms of skill gap is from AAA to the major league level, and especially in terms of pitching in the two leagues. So it's not a surprise to see him still trying to figure it out. 0-13 so far. He's been struck out 8 times, has the 2 walks. I'm not out on Coby Mayo. I mean, I've learned to have patience with these guys over time. I want to see them eventually start to get good, have some good outcomes. And we saw him have a little bit of bad luck at times last night, but it's a work in progress. And the defense, they already knew that was going to be something that would come with time.
And when Elias says he's athletic, I mean, if he's 6'5", means he's got to be a great knee bender, you know, because that's the only way that you can play that way at third base. If you bend it, because if you're bending at the waist, you're in deep, kind of like an old lineman type thing. So yeah, good for him. But you think Cordell, because he's almost doing the exact same thing that Jackson. Holiday did when he came up. So are we just kind of biding time before he goes back down? But I mean, there's nothing for him to go back down. He's almost better off be it, because he's done everything that you can do down in AAA. Right. He's got the reps in AAA, which Holiday didn't have. So just once he gets going, then I think maybe he'll it's more like Gunner was type thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's I feel the same way. And it, I feel like we always say this with these young guys is, all right, we'd rather see them struggle up here than go back down there and continue to beat up on AAA pitching. We've already seen them be able to do that. What he has going for him is that they just don't have a lot of infield options right now. He's almost up here out of necessity as is. So that may be a benefit for him to buy him some time to still try to figure this thing out. We've talked a lot today about Anthony Santander and his future with the team. Here's Mike Elias talking about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would echo the compliments that you made about Tony. Whatever you guys see on the screen, you know, or when you're at the park, like behind the scenes, he's just a great guy. He's really putting together a great season. I've been kind of boring on this extension topic in the past, but for reasons that I've already said, and then also, you know, the fact that our new ownership group has just settled in as of opening day, you know, early April. We've got so much going on in season. It is something that is more typically tackled in the off season. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it and it can be tough while a season's going on. You know, he is a great player. Like you mentioned, the switch hitter, you know, is something that is rare and valuable.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Elias is pretty much doing what he's done in the past when we've asked about the Adley extensions or the Gunner extensions. He's not really going down that road, and I don't blame him. But it's going to be a tough decision, and like I said earlier, I fully expect the Orioles to, if nothing else, try to keep Anthony Santander here. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried about the field, because there are going to be teams out there that could definitely use a switch hitting power bat that's pretty good in the outfield as well. Teams are going to be willing to throw him some money.
Well, the thing is, if I'm Santander's agent, there's no reason for me to do an extension right now.
Right. You're definitely testing
why would market. Right. Because what am I trying to do? I'm trying to see what I'm worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of, hey, the Orioles come, you know, we'll give you 3 years, 60 mil. Okay. You know, that's cool. You know, let's just wait till to see. Because, I mean, if he hits 40-some homers and over 100 RBIs and does all that, yeah, he's going to get paid. And you know what's going to happen, Cordell, is because there's going to be a lot of teams involved, and that's what's going to push up his years to five. And that may make it difficult for the O's.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Talk some sports with him. See how he feels about the Orioles these days. Football season is back. We'll talk about all that and more next here on The Fan. Right here on The Fan, we're joined now by Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas? How are you this fine Thursday? Are you ready for some football?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Are we ever?
Mike, I just got back from Chicago the other day, and I made the fatal mistake out there of asking about the White Sox, and found out quickly nobody wants to talk about the White Sox out there. They were able to snap that losing streak, but they go on to fire their manager today. It looks like Grady Sizemore, he's going to be the interim manager for them right now. But what's the end game for the White Sox? Can you see the light at the end of the tunnel with this team yet?
You guys have watched this for years in your own city. Tell me when that light finally flickered on for you guys. What, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Farm system got resurrected and reshuffled, and suddenly you had some young players that you thought, hey, this could work around, and you could sprinkle it. Yeah, the White Sox, I've seen the – look, it comes down to what I've been saying forever. It's like Jerry Jones with the Cowboys. As long as Jerry Reinsdorf's in charge, he's going to keep hiring guys that have been loyal and faithful and organizational to him. And even if they get moved out of one position, they usually just get shuffled to another. So nothing's going to change. They made a half-assed attempt to do the Braves model. You guys now have one of those pieces in Eloy Jimenez. And everything else is kind of torn asunder. I do have to ask, though, if you were on the south side, you know, the pocket of loyal loud White Sox fans would probably not want to talk about it. Everybody else would say, who's the White Sox?
Yeah, I was on South Michigan Ave. So I was out there by the lake. I was downtown. So I asked a couple of people. I actually ended up going to Wrigley, which was actually pretty cool. But I had asked a couple people about the White Sox, and yeah, they changed the subject very fast.
Wrigley Field, the best outdoor bar in America.
Indeed, I agree.
Hey, Mike, I tell you what, I watched Hard Knocks, the Bears mm-hmm. one. I liked it. I think it's and you know what, Mike? I like your coach. I've got a whole new impression of Eberflus. You know, like his beard and his new hairdo, and he thinks he's pretty cool now and everything. I thought the first episode was pretty good. What'd you think?
I was hoping for a little more sizzle, a little more controversy. The Canadian Eagle getting hurt in the Hall of Fame game wasn't enough juice for me. I mean, there's lots of data points. I put it out on Twitter at Swollen Dome, but, you know, here's just some randomness. Didn't include the Saban conversation because that was just coach speak 101 to Eberflus. But, yeah, I mean, look, he started feeling himself as soon as that defense came together after the arrival of Montez Sweat last year. Bears are never going to fire a guy with money left on a contract. See the theme in Chicago? But Coach did, as long as he was getting the defense together, now it's all on Waldron to figure out Caleb Williams and to make it work. And now it's the battle between public perception and maybe reality of where they're at as an offense, even with all those shiny new toys and all. But, yeah, it's Hard Knocks. It's the Bears. As long as they don't end up looking as dumb and inept as the Giants, I'll take it as a win.
Right.
Indeed. We're talking to Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Mike, every year going into the NFL season, you know, we always try to figure out who's going to be that team that goes from worst to first. You know, last year the Texans were the big surprise team with C.J. Stroud having a great rookie year. Who do you see kind of being that team that kind of surprises the football world?
That's a pretty good question there, because then I got to go back to the standings and figure out who actually was last year. I think Washington's interesting. A lot of reboot, a lot of change, energy. I mean, obviously, it begins and ends with the young quarterback and how he flows. So I think there's potential there. Arizona made a lot of changes, and it looks like they may be able to play a little bit of bully ball. And with Seattle banged up and fighting and hitting each other with helmets, the Rams, as much as you may like component parts, how much does losing Aaron Donald hurt them? And in week 11, if he gets the itch to play again, will he be in shape to come and do so? San Francisco, always the leader in the pack there. So those would be the two teams, I think, right off the jump that stand out to me. You know, we saw the collapse of Jacksonville last year. So maybe they rise back up in the AFC South. And look, I work with a guy that's a Jets fan. I can't give them any creeds just on principle.
Hey, Mike, what's in the water out there in L.A.? Everybody's getting hurt out there.
Well, it's a longstanding thing, particularly when you look on you're talking about Dodgers and Chargers would be my guess.
I'm talking about Chargers and Rams, but you could throw in the Dodgers.
Yeah, no.
And you could throw in the Angels.
they don't even count anymore. They're like asking people about the White Sox in Chicago. Who?
Yeah,
Mike Trout. We hardly knew ye. He had a good run. And Anthony Rendon, we should all be lucky to cash checks like he has. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, the Chargers is interesting because there was a lot of question of the offensive sensibilities and philosophy, bringing in the former Ravens running backs, of course, but then having Jim Harbaugh, who we know likes to play the, you know, ground and pound and occasionally find a pass play that he likes in his system. But now with Herbert sideline, it falls to Easton Stick. You're going to be relying on the Gus bus even more, at least to get things out of the gate. So that's interesting. With the Rams and with the Chargers is also, I should add, that's a yearly thing. Like we used to do it on my show with your training facilities and mine here with Los Angeles and the Chargers, which had more walking wounded. on a given basis and needed one of those Kyrie Irving sagebrush kind of things going on. Rams, same thing, litany of injuries. But as long as the Matthew Stafford's upright and Sean McVay is still coaching them up, I feel pretty confident that they'll find their way to at least a 500 record. And then the Dodgers, look, they're getting chased down in the rearview mirror with the Diamondbacks and with the Padres suddenly playing great baseball. So, you know, it's anxious moments in August and September for the first time ever, at least in the last decade plus for the Dodgers. So lots swirling around. It's a fun time of year for once.
Mike Harmon, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time. We'll talk again down the line.
Hey, Mike, before we let you go, throw out the what's going on with your fantasy stuff real quick.
Well, the I Watch Flex podcast getting rebooted here shortly. SwollenDome.com. I'm currently in a fight with WordPress over how they changed publishing, so I'm trying to relearn thing. And since I'm old, that's taking a while. Otherwise, Instagram and Twitter at SwollenDome for all the usual musings and links out to the show podcasts and all. So plenty of yelling to come because it's that sweet spot of the season.
Mike, really appreciate you, man. We'll talk again later.
Thanks, Mike.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good week.
Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take one last trip through the fun house with Quick Draw before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draw's Fun House. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll actually start here with a text on Maryland football. This texter, very optimistic, says the schedule this year seems very favorable to me. Conference expansion will be huge for the Terps, swapping Michigan and Ohio State for USC and Oregon. I'm hoping for a more premium bowl game as well. Dare I say 9 wins.
I would say this. Oregon's like one of the top 3 teams in the country. It's like Ohio State and Oregon. So Oregon is not going to be an easy game. SC's kind of rebuild kind of thing.
Yeah. Defense is always their problem. So if you can put up some points, that should work out. But yeah, I mean, it's always optimism in August, so they say. But yeah, I feel good about it looking at the schedule right now. And you always got to feel good about your first 2 games being at home.
Rashawn checking in here wants to know if Grayson Rodriguez is not in line for the playoffs, who would you trust the most being the number 3 starter behind Burns and Eflin, Kramer or Rodgers?
I need some more time.
Yep.
I gotta get some more time with Rodgers. If he can build on last night and, you know, start to put together some more quality starts, I want to say him. We saw Kramer last year, and I don't want to hold it against him just one game. It's more than just that one game that I'm holding against Kramer. But yeah, I'm hesitant to say Kramer. I'd like to say Rodgers, but I just have to see more.
This texter here says the home plate umpire last night was maybe the worst I've seen in quite a while, and that's saying something given the state of umps right now. You know you're having a rough night when both dugouts are chirping you.
Yeah, or you could say that you're being fair. I mean, if you're right down the middle, if both sides are chirping, then, you know, that means you're playing right down the middle. But yeah, the strike zone was awful last night. I mean, it felt like after every pitch, to your point, somebody from one of the 2 dugouts has something to say. And I'm surprised he didn't get whiplash after a while looking back and forth to see who's yelling at him, because it was just that bad.
I think the best moment was when one of their relievers, Cabrera, was on the mound, mm-hmm. and he started getting fed up with him.
Yeah.
Remember, he hit him with the pitch clock violation. Yep. And he was started like throwing his arm at it. Oh, that was outside. And the ump was mocking him. He was like doing the same thing back. He's like, yeah, it was outside. Make a better pitch.
We're matching each other's pettiness now. That's where we have reached now in Major League Baseball.
Hey, did you guys happen to see like Chapman threw like 105,
last night?
And Machado was just laughing, you know, when he struck out. It was kind of funny.
I mean, what else can you do at that? If it's inside, man, that thing will hurt.
What's going to happen? I mean, velocities are going crazy.
Well, I mean, for Chapman, that's been his career, but even that's crazy for him.
Yeah, that's got to be a career high for sure.
Even in his prime.
I think I saw somebody earlier this year hit 103. I can't remember who it was, but
probably
I feel
from
like
Pittsburgh.
I feel like earlier this year I saw somebody hit 103, but 105 is a first.
Yeah, don't hit me at 103.
No, we're fighting. If I can get up, we're fighting. I don't care.
We'll close things out here with Howard in Baltimore. Says some of these new players for the O's still look a little nervous to me. Fielding and throwing errors are unacceptable. Also unacceptable to have a leadoff batter get a double, followed by three strikeouts. Where's the old school mentality? And more ragging here on the home plate umpire last night after his performance. Should have been demoted.
Well, I feel like we could say that about other umpires throughout the years, and that just doesn't happen. But yeah, I mean, look, it's going to take these guys some time. And I think that's the challenge with baseball, watching baseball. You have to have patience watching this game, and you have to have patience with these young players that are trying to jump aboard a moving train. These pitchers that they're going against, they've been pitching all year at this level. These players are still getting adjusted to the speed of the game and these pitchers that they're going up against. That'll do it for us here on Vinny and Haney, another great one in the books. I'll be back with Vinny and Nolan tomorrow and some of next week as well, so be sure to tune in starting at 10 o'clock. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next. Until tomorrow morning, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.